Now, many people today hear about a Savior for their eternal life, and they accept that gift. But maybe they have not effectively listened to what that Savior taught, nor may they have believed or obeyed Him as a result. As a result of today's message, my hope is to express clearly a three-step process, not a revelation to most of us here, but an ever-important process to be reminded of. And those steps are, one, listen or observe. In other words, pay attention. Two, believe. Three, obey. If you'll turn to John chapter 6 and verse 47. John chapter 6. And we'll read in 47. Keeping in mind, listening or observing and believing and obeying, Jesus Christ says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," He's saying something now and He needs us to listen. "Whoever believes has eternal life." Now, if we stopped there, that sure would simplify things, wouldn't it? He goes on in verse 48, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died." They ate manna every day. It's not that they ate it once. Every day they had to sustain themselves, but nevertheless, it did not give them eternal life. They ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. Verse 50, "This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." So this is in some ways equated with, whoever believes will have eternal life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh, Jesus Christ's flesh. Verse 52, "The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?'" It's a fair question. That's cannibalism. You know, why would he say that? "So Jesus said to them," and listen, "truly, truly, I say to you," he speaks again, we're supposed to listen, "unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood," so he's added something else, "you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." So, first he said we have to believe, and then he added to it, he said we have to believe and eat his flesh. And then he said, no, you have to believe, eat the flesh, and drink the blood of Jesus Christ. "And I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." And of course, when we have Passover and we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we take a wafer, a matzo, unleavened bread, and we drink a thimbleful of wine, it's not being transfigured into his real flesh and blood. Okay. Yet he says, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and they died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. See, our blood is the source of our life. In general terms, if we didn't have it flowing through our bodies would be a heap of flesh, not alive. And the flesh is the composition of what that life provides. The blood feeds our bodies, and actually our bodies grow and develop and become what they are because of what's happening in the blood. Blood's providing oxygen and minerals, and it's building. It repairs. Okay. So it's the source of life, the blood, and the flesh is the composition of that life. Both together, you could say, represent a complete package. You and I are complete packages of a human being each, because blood is flowing through us and nourishing our flesh, giving our flesh life. Jesus' disciples never actually ate Jesus' flesh or drank his blood. Instead, his blood was spilled, and it ceased to flow, and his flesh was laid dead in the tomb. Nobody touched him for 3 days and three nights. And then, all that was physical was transformed into spirit. Yet we could go back to verse 53 that we just read. And Jesus clearly declares that unless you and I eat his flesh and drink his blood, no life is in us. Or as if we were here last week and remember what Mr. Hopper said, no true or real life is in us. You've heard of the saying, you are what you eat. And of course, sometimes that's used in a way to put down what we're eating, right? If we're eating a bunch of junk food, that means you're just junk, you know. But they're also trying to say, you know, if you eat well, you will do better for it. Your body will do better for it. Jesus Christ called us to eat his flesh. And thinking of the three points, listening or observing, believing and obeying, he declares that we eat his flesh, okay, and drink his blood. If we eat his flesh, we're listening. We drink his blood, we're believing. So that we would then choose to mimic him in the spirit of obedience. Live a new life in him. Remember, the complete package is the blood and the flesh. So we reiterate the three steps by giving them another meaning. We listen and observe. That is our food. Listen and observe Christ. Believe, we drink his blood. We take on that life. And now, having eaten and drank of the blood, we then must obey, feel, and do what this life stands for. This obedience is clearly stated several chapters over in the book of John. We just go over to 14, John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, whoever has my commandments, okay, that means they had to have listened and believed and keeps them, obeyed, he it is who loves me. It is important that we show God we love him if he loves us. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? In verse 23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. There's an obedience again. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Okay, well, is this a possession? No. No, God is a person. There's two people, the Father and Jesus Christ. And he says they will both dwell in us. Do each of us have God the Father and Jesus Christ literally in us? No, they're somewhere else right now, probably on their throne in heaven. Yet, this is clearly what he says, that they will be in us. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Disobedience. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. He let them know ahead of time. And here's how it's not physically, in a sense, literally them in us. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So we find right there in the very same explanation how the Father and the Son will be in us. And that is by the Holy Spirit. And we've gone over many times what that Spirit is. So, though we do literally observe the symbols of eating Christ's flesh, drinking His blood, and becoming servant at Passover, we find in Christ's own words that eating His flesh, drinking His blood, and acting like Him are an ongoing, daily behavior. And because of our willingness to eat His flesh, listen, observe. You know, it's in here. We can listen to Him and observe Him in the Word. He was the Word made flesh. And drink His blood. Believe what we hear. We find in verse 26 what I would call the elixir, as it were, that makes it possible for us to thrive on the body and blood of Christ, or obey. And that is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows for true obedience, both in feeling and in action. Why we're doing it, and then the actual doing. It's a transforming power, conceiving us into a new creation under construction, like an unborn child. And it is the essence and the nature and the power of God, His flesh and blood, source and composition of the very God life given to us as an earnest for us to use to live the life of Christ. So is all of this worth it? This listening and believing and also obeying. The way seems so narrow, and it's called narrow by Christ, having first had to be even called to even listen. Then we, of our own accord, had to choose to believe. Then, to top it all off, we had to desire that life, that flesh and blood, as it were, so much that we would be willing to give up our own flesh and blood lives for that. It's a sacrifice that we make. In Romans 8:28, we read the answer, one of the answers to why. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. So this narrow way means all things, everything, not one thing left out works together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, the flesh and the blood, in order that He might be the firstborn. He the firstborn, but then what does it say? Among many brothers. That's you and me. And siblings of Jesus Christ, that's what we are. Children of the Father. That is what we are given when we listen, okay, and we believe, and then we obey. It is worth it. And it will help us overcome every single pain, every single anxiety, and every single dependency. God's Holy Spirit is in us to conform to what we heard, for us to conform to what we heard, to what we eat and believed, what we drank, and will build us in the very love of God. So let us take great joy in being what we eat and eat of it daily. Just as Israel needed to eat daily, and you and I need to eat daily, they ate manna that did not save them. It sustained them. We eat of Jesus Christ and drink of His blood, and we obey Him. We are sustained eternally. So let's listen, let's believe, and obey.